You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Next Tuesday is Wisconsin's spring primary, when voters statewide will decide who gets the state's delegates in the race for president and who will be the next justice on the state Supreme Court, as well as a number of other local elections.
The Marquette University Law School poll has been tracking the statewide races in Wisconsin, along with Governor Walker's approval rating and the upcoming Senate race in November. The new results released this afternoon show Ted Cruz ahead in the Republican primary and Bernie Sanders leading among Democrats.
Charles Franklin joins us to talk about these and other results in today's poll. He's the director of the Marquette University Law School poll, professor of law and public policy at Marquette. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
Hey, before we crack into the numbers, Charles, Wisconsin primaries, I bet you're getting a lot more attention from the national press than we usually would for similar primaries here.
Yeah, you know, we rolled the dice by having the primary this late in the season that everything would be over with, but we won that bet in both primaries. So we're getting tremendous attention here today and going forward to Tuesday. Sometimes having a late primary is actually a pretty good plan.
Well, let's look at the kind of marquee results that I think a lot of people are watching for the presidential primary. The Republican side, lay out what you found.
We've seen a good bit of movement here since February, when Donald Trump led by 30% to Ted Cruz at 19. We now see Cruz ahead by 40 points to Trump 30, Kasich at 21, and 8% undecided. That's among likely Republican primary voters, and has about a 5.8 point margin of error. So it's a lead, but it's not an enormous lead. It shows a real move from Cruz, though, from 19 a month ago to more than double that to get to 40.
Yeah, and when you look at a lot of other states, there's been this, I don't know if they call it never Trump effort or kind of an anyone but Trump effort by Republicans in the establishment that doesn't seem to have moved the needle much. Is that kind of effort having an effect, do you think, here in Wisconsin?
I'm not sure that that alone is having much of an effect, in this sense, that Trump in Wisconsin has polled behind where he polled nationally in some of the neighboring states. So we've had him pretty consistently in the 20s, 30% a month ago, but now 30% again now. That at a time when he was polling significantly better than that in national and other state polls. So I'm not sure that Trump was especially strong here in the state to begin with. But what we have seen in the last 2 weeks is Republican elected officials, talk radio, coalescing around Ted Cruz, a decision that they took a lot of time getting to, but is now not unanimous, but a pretty strong set of endorsers of Cruz, including Governor Walker on Tuesday.
You broke this down by demographics, by region. Anything on the Republican presidential side strike you as particularly worthy of note?
Well, I think the interesting part is that Ted Cruz wins the Milwaukee city and county area, and also wins the Milwaukee suburbs, and by pretty substantial margins. That's where Trump has been weakest in his polling earlier. Trump wins the Northwest, sort of Wausau up north and over to the Minnesota border, but he only wins it by a single point over Cruz now. That's an area Trump was doing considerably better in, and where Cruz has made some real headway. And then finally, John Kasich is leading by a small amount in the Madison media market, which is several counties around Dane County as well as Dane. That makes it look like Kasich might have a chance to pick up delegates by winning the second congressional district there. So Cruz strong in the southeast, Trump strong in the northwest, but with Cruz catching him there, and then Kasich showing some strength in the Madison area.
Talking to Charles Franklin about the much-anticipated Marquette Law School poll out earlier this afternoon. Let's move to the Democratic side. Charles, Bernie Sanders, a lead, not a huge lead, but a lead on the Democratic side.
That's right. He's slightly expanding his edge. Clinton was ahead by 2 in January, Sanders just by 1 in February, and now Sanders by 4 points, 49 to 45, with 6% undecided. again, among likely Democratic primary voters here. That's inside the margin of error as well, and you could easily call it a toss-up. But it shows the modest Sanders edge that we saw slowly developing over the course of the January and February.
Interesting breakdown there by age group. How did that shake out?
By age group, we see an enormous strength for Sanders among young voters. It's so large, it borders on the unbelievable. Sanders is taking 83% of 18 to 29-year-olds, Clinton just 13%. I would distrust that number, except that we've been seeing something very similar to it in exit polls. Sometimes it's not quite that large for Sanders, but it often does get there with this youngest age group. But then Sanders support steadily declines as you go up in age. 30 to 44 is its 59, so he's still winning those. But over 45 to 59 is down to 43, and over 60 down to 31. Meanwhile, Clinton is winning 63% of those over 60. So this age gradient is very powerful, and it means that Clinton does well among those over 45. Sanders does well or very well among those under 45. The important question with age is whether young people will really turn out to vote. And I think Bernie Sanders coming back to Madison for a second time is a good example of the campaign making every effort to make sure that those voters who are young voters who are so supportive of him actually do turn out to vote.
We'll dig deeper into those presidential numbers, maybe with our callers at 800-642-1234. Want to get into some issues here in the state. Most importantly, that state Supreme Court race. Charles, how is that moving?
There we're seeing a very tight race. It was essentially tied a month ago. It's still very close. Bradley at 41, Kloppenburg at 36. A 5-point difference, but a whopping 18% undecided about that race. So that 18%, depending on how it breaks, could make a big difference, or it could decide to stay home. We will have to wait to Tuesday to see. This is also a race that's closely tied to which presidential primary people are voting in. Bradley gets over 60% of the vote from Republican presidential voters, and Kloppenburg over 60% among Democratic primary voters. That means turnout in the Republican and the Democratic races for president, and the size of that turnout could be an important factor. Right now in our data, people tell us that 54% of them will vote in the Republican primary, 46 will vote in the Democratic primary. So again, that's of course subject to change.
One interesting thing that didn't happen in between those two polls was that blow up over Rebecca Bradley's writings back in college, the column she wrote. She, when this came out, rebuked herself, her younger self, in effect, for writing what a lot of people described as hateful remarks. Didn't seem to hurt her in the polls at all.
We do not see a decline in her favorability ratings, and we see a little bit of an increase, but not a lot, in how well-known she is. The answer is both she and Kloppenburg are pretty little-known at this point, despite it being this late in the campaign. I think what we don't know, and we did not measure, is how aware people are of these issues in the campaign and issues that each side is using to argue against the other side.
One weird thing in this race, I imagine this would be a very different Supreme Court race if it were the only statewide race as opposed to being on the ticket with both parties having contested primaries.
Certainly lives in the shadow of the overwhelming presidential race. There's no question about that. It's also not unusual for judicial elections here in Wisconsin or anywhere to be low salience affairs, even though the issues are very important and the policies are very important. Virtually every state has relatively less interest in the Supreme Court races. If they stand alone, they tend to be lower turnout races. And the level of information is somewhat limited, in part because of the way judicial candidates are reluctant to talk about issues that might come before the court. And so instead you talk about things that are related but don't go directly to what you would do as a judge.
We're talking about the latest Marquette University Law School poll with survey director Charles Franklin.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think about these new poll results? Who do you think will win the presidential nomination in Wisconsin? At least will win that primary coming up next week. Who would you like to see win the state Supreme Court race and why? And what do you think about the notable change in the Wisconsin Senate race results? We'll get to those. You can call in now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with Charles Franklin about the Marquette University Law School poll, which was just released this afternoon.
We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Cruz ahead on the Republican side by a decent margin over Trump. Sanders ahead, smaller margin over Clinton. What do you make of those results? Are you planning to vote in the primary? Are you going to vote in the other party's primary? You're going to cross over. I'll ask Charles Franklin about that in a minute. And what about that Senate race still further off? Russ Feingold with a lead. We'll talk about that in a moment, but smaller than it used to be. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Charles, let's hit that Senate race now. No voting action on this one on Tuesday, but this is one you've been tracking. We'll keep tracking. What's the latest?
Well, we've tracked it for over a year, and Feingold has maintained a 11 or 10-point lead over Senator Johnson. But in this one, we see some tightening of that race. Now Feingold at 47, Johnson at 42, a 5-point margin, cutting what had been a very stable race down to about half the margin that it had been. I don't think that's terribly surprising as voters come to focus on politics. Through the presidential races, we're seeing some voters coming home to their candidates. We're structuring perceptions of Feingold and Johnson a little more. It's probably also partly due to the Supreme Court vacancy, which has certainly produced more conversation about the Senate and its role and may have brought voters to focus a little bit more on that race. If we move to likely voters, it's even a little tighter, a 3-point race, 48 to 45. So this is a race that I think has been waiting for attention. Once we get past the presidential race, it'll be one of the more interesting games in town going ahead to November.
And that Supreme Court issue you mentioned, that's something Democrats around the country in tight races are trying to sort of beat up on Republicans over, at least from this poll. If that's working at all, it's not moving the needle much.
Well, what we saw in this poll, as well as the last one, is that the public is pretty sharply divided on the filling the vacancy on the Supreme Court. But what's striking is that Russ Feingold, who argues for filling it, if you look at his supporters, they overwhelmingly favor filling it. But Ron Johnson, who opposes taking action, you look at his supporters, they overwhelmingly oppose taking action. In that sense, both candidates are representing the views of their supporters, but it is their views divide, and so it's very unlikely to see any change, I think, in the perspective of either candidate.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Carol is on the line near Hayward. Carol, hi.
Hi. I was just curious, when they say they call to ask people who they're voting for, are they do they know right off the bat that they are calling Republicans and asking, you know, which Republican they're going to vote for? Or are they calling people not knowing? Because I'm just curious how many people are crossing over, because I know about 8 people that normally vote Democrat that are crossing over and voting for Trump instead. So have they taken that into account?
Carol, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Charles.
Yeah. Thank you. We ask people which primary they're going to vote in, so we don't know ahead of time. We simply ask people. But in this poll, we're only finding a modest amount of crossover voting. Among independents, about 60% are going to the Republican primary, about 40% to the Democratic primary. but well over 80% of Republicans are staying in the Republican race. Democrats are staying in the Democratic race. Total, it looks like maybe we would see as much as 10% in crossover votes.
Thanks for that call. So in the course of the interview, you ask which primary you're voting in, but you also ask people to self-identify as Democrat, Republican, or Independent. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Is there a history of much crossover voting? Is that more common maybe when one side has a more competitive race than the other?
I think that's exactly the key to it. If both races are very competitive, as they are here now, you have to give up something to leave your own party behind in order to cross over to make some mischief on the other side, if that's what you're actually doing. You might be drawn out of sincere support for the other side, too, of course. Let's not completely dismiss that. But in recent elections here where that was a possibility, the amount of crossover has been modest or moderate. It's a sort of thing that people like to speculate a lot about, but really most voters seem to not be drawn to getting into the other party's affairs and tend to stay in their own party.
Talking to Charles Franklin about the latest Marquette Law School survey, looking at the results in the presidential race, last big survey before the actual voting happens on Tuesday. Wanted to ask about another thing. You asked who people will vote for in the nomination. You also asked people from both parties or voting on both sides who they think is going to win the nomination. What kind of things did you find on both sides?
And here we find that even though Sanders is slightly ahead and Cruz is slightly ahead, a majority of Republicans think Trump will win the nomination eventually, and a majority of Democrats think Clinton will win. It's about 65% for Trump, and about 77% of Democrats think Clinton will win. This is the difference between who you're rooting for and who you really think is going to ultimately win.
And you also asked who people are rooting against, in effect. You tracked who had very unsatisfactory ratings among voters. Yeah, what were people telling you there?
Yeah, the question was, how comfortable or uncomfortable would you be with each of these candidates as the president? And if we look just at the percent that say very uncomfortable with them in the White House, across all voters, Kasich does best with just 10% very uncomfortable. Cruz and Sanders are about the same. Cruz at 37% very uncomfortable. Sanders at 36%. And then we get up a little bit higher. Hillary Clinton, 47% say they would be very uncomfortable with her in the White House. 55% say that of Donald Trump. So it's interesting that the two candidates that voters expect to win the nominations of their parties are actually the two that provoke these highest levels of discomfort. However, a lot of that is driven across parties. So, for example, 82% of Republicans say they would be very uncomfortable with Clinton, but only 8% say that of her from within the Democratic Party. So within party, there's a lot more comfort with your party's candidate, a lot of discomfort with the other party. And in Donald Trump's case, 23% of Republicans say they would be very uncomfortable with him. In contrast, only 17% of Democrats say the same of John Kasich. There's quite a contrast there between the feelings Kasich produces across the party spectrum and those that Trump produces.
And that takes us to a point I wanted to end on, the head-to-head comparisons. And there, Kasich, it looks like, does the best among Republicans when run against Sanders or Clinton. Sanders does best among the Democrats when run against any of the three Republicans.
It's a fascinating thing that we've seen really since January in every one of our polls, that the two candidates who voters tell us they don't really expect to be able to win the nomination, nevertheless, each seem to be the stronger candidate in head-to-head matchups going into the fall. It's a paradox of this year's elections that electability does not seem to be the key issue for either party.
We'll leave it there for now, Charles. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Law School Poll. He's also co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. He was with us to talk about the latest Marquette University Law School Poll, which is just released this afternoon.